This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday morning wake-up call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. Last year, while we were visiting our daughter Mary in New York City, we went to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. We spent several hours there, and I could have stayed longer. It was a very interesting, informative, but most of all, moving experience. Not many museums will bring tears to your eyes, but this one can. At least it did for me. One of the things that kept coming back to me after I left the museum was how all those people in that place on that day, back on September 11th, 2001, had no idea what awaited them that fateful morning when terrorists killed 2,977 people. They arrived by the transit system, bus or train or ferry boat or automobile. Some boarded the planes that went down. They fully planned to arrive at their destinations, continue working, take breaks somewhere at some point during the day, eat lunch, work that afternoon, go home, and probably the same way they had arrived. They would see their loved ones that night or soon. No one knew the tragedy that awaited them. They were just ordinary people going to work. They said goodbye to those they loved, never knowing that that hug or kiss or tender words would be their last to them. Which leads to this observation. It's in the ordinary moments of our ordinary lives that we make the most extraordinary impact on others. I seriously doubt that my loved ones will remember me for the last sermon I preached, or the last lecture I gave, or the last article I wrote. But they might remember me for a lot of little moments where, along the way, I showed I cared. For the vast majority of us, it's not like we can say, okay, today's my last day, I'm going to do something great and leave a legacy. Our legacy is rather wrapped up in a lot of little things we did in ordinary moments, and because we were faithful to something beyond ourselves, the significance of those little things is magnified. They become bigger than we thought they were when we were doing them. The key is to have an overarching purpose for your life. Let that guide you so that in all things, big or little, planned or unplanned, you give yourself to God and others. So whenever your last day comes, and there will be a last day for each of us, whenever that day comes, you've lived your life so that what you leave behind is intact. Few of us get an advanced notice of the exact day of our departure. So we have to live each day with a purpose that guides us, one that empowers us to live beyond ourselves and leave something positive no matter what day it is that's our last. John Wesley, the great preacher and minister of the 18th century, had as his guiding purpose to be a holy man of God, a man God could use in any way God wanted. Now, Wesley didn't just sit back and say, okay, God, make me holy, and then I'll do something great so I can be remembered. No, not at all. In fact, that very word Methodism referred originally to a methodical and highly disciplined approach to the Christian life that John and his brother Charles and a few others practiced and taught. Those that practiced it were called Methodists. Well, Wesley looked for ways to minister to others, to bring Christ's holiness to ordinary people in ordinary walks of life. And he did a lot of that. I mean, Wesley, during his lifetime, rode on horseback over 250,000 miles. He preached over 40,000 sermons. And the greatest success of Methodism was not among the rich and successful, but among the poor, the simple commoners, who ironically were often the very ones who persecuted Wesley for his innovations. But to whomever and wherever he was ministering, Wesley had that purpose, to be faithful to God and to be a holy instrument God could use. A person once asked John Wesley, if you knew you would die at 12 o'clock tomorrow night, how would you spend the intervening time? And here's what Wesley said. He said, well, I would spend it just as I intend to spend it. I would preach tonight at Gloucester and again tomorrow evening. I would then repair to my friend's house as he expects me. I would converse and pray with the family, retire to my room about 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to sleep, and wake up in glory. There will be a 9/11 for each of us. Hopefully not the cataclysmic event where heroes were made as they died, but a 9/11 in the sense that one day, our last day, we'll have a date, whether it's September 11th or some other date on the calendar. We all have a final date, a date for our departure. Those people who acted heroically that day, 9/11, didn't wake up and say, I want to be a hero today. They did what was right in the moment. Maybe they'd been preparing for it by doing the right things in ordinary moments of life before that horrible day. Rather than seeing all this as a depressing thing, find hope in the days you have. Find your purpose. Let that guide you. Live your life, giving yourself to others in the seemingly small, insignificant moments, and God will use you. And at the right time, one day, someday, you can awake to His full presence in glory. Join me next week, and in the meantime, go out and be the person God created you to be. Dragged a comb across my head.